Okay, this is Parakut Aleph and Hilchos Ma'achal Sosuros, and this parak will be basically dealing with the halachas of Yain Nesach. It's an introduction to it. It's important to understand that, as you'll see, Yain Nesach is a very, very serious isra. It's treated very, very seriously by the Torah and Chachamim, and you'll see the stringencies that apply to it aren't necessarily found in some of the other areas of Ma'achal Sosuros. The Rambam first says in Lach Aleph, Yain Shish Nisnaseich La'akum Asur Bahaniyah, right? So anytime wine that is used by a non-Jew to go ahead, well, we'll say an idolater for now. When it's poured in a way out of worship, literally translated as a libation, right? It's prohibited to get hana from it, to benefit from it. But Shosei Meno, Kol Shehu Lokum in the Torah. And if you drink any amount, okay, any amount that's drunk from the Yain Esef, you get Malkus. V'chein ha'ochol kol shuhu mitar korvus akum yibasar miperes. Afilu maya melach. So this Isser doesn't only apply to Yain, but to any food that is used in any way for idolatrous purposes. If you eat from that food, kol shuhu, any small amount, any amount at all, you get Malkus. Shener marasher chelaz v'chemo yochelu, because it says, yishtu Yain nesicham yakumu. So basically it says that, you're not allowed to basically have any of the fats that they give up or any of the wine that they use as libations. Halacha beis. Now, yain shenis nasek la kezevach shekarav la. Right? So yain that's used for, as yain nesek, as used for libation, it's as if it was, used as a sacrifice, as a korban. The kevach isha zem yishum akumhu, ein lo shir. So since this isser is rooted in idolatry, there is no shir. The most minimal amount makes you over the isser. Shneemar, bavodos akum lo yidbak yadacham umma min acherem. Because it says in the Torah that you can't have any single amount when it comes to what it called avodah zar. Gelacha gemol na yain akum shein ani yodin im this nasech alonis nasech. Okay, now which is obviously the common case today, non-idolatrous wine, okay, or non-Jewish wine that we don't know if the wine was used for idolatrous purposes or not. Huanikra stam yeno, that's called stam yeno. Asubana kemol yain shnis nasech. So it's prohibited to get benefit from it. Just as if we treat it as if the wine was used for idolatrous purposes. But there was a mitzvah sofermo. This is the Rabbanon. That shows the mistam yinam revias makas makas martis. Notice the difference in the shear. If you drink a revias, which is the normal minimal shear for drinking of stam yinam, you get rabbinical makas. Alacha dalad. The whole yain shigavah akum. Any wine, and this is the thing I think we're most familiar with, any wine that's touched by a non Jew, areza asr. Why is it prohibited? Shema nasach oso, right? Because maybe it's possible that he poured it, for the purpose of avodah zarah. Shemach sheves akum avodas kochavim, right? Because that's what they think about. They think about idolatry. Halamadata sheyain yisrael shenagavo akum, right? That's why we see from this that kosher, well, I shouldn't use that term, but wine that's owned by a Jew, that's touched by a non-Jew, dino kistam yeno. That wine automatically turns into stam yinam shu asr banah. Therefore, it's prohibited to get benefit from the wine. That's how serious the prohibition is. Halacha hey, now akum shenaga b'yayin shelo b'kavana. Let's say an idolater touches wine unintentionally, right? V'chein tinok akum shenaga b'yayin. Let's say a baby, a non-Jewish baby touches the wine. Asr b'shasiyah, you can't drink it. However, mutar baniyah, but you could benefit from it. Halokeach avadam in akum. Let's say a person purchases servants from a non-Jew, umalavu tavlu, right? And let's say, afterwards, they become, they get circumcised and go to the mikvah, miyad, okay, immediately, eimen naskin, okay? Then we say, at that point in time, since they got mila and they went to the mikvah, they're no longer considered suspicious of pouring wine libations for idolatry. But yayin shenagubo, and therefore any wine that they touch, mutar b'shasiyah, you'd be allowed to drink it. Even though they're not completely part of the Jewish religion yet, right? Because they're still in Avdus, and they still might speak about idolatry. Nonetheless, once they go through Mila and Tvila, at that point we say the yain they touch would be mutter. Okay, let's say you have the children of non-Jewish maidservants, right? That are born in, let's say, the house of a Jew, umalo, and they get circumcised. V'dayin lo tavlu. But they haven't gone to the mikvah yet. Hagadolim osrin, hayayin kishyaguba. So the older ones, it's unclear what age it actually is, but in general means they understand what idolatry is. The older ones, anytime they touch wine, it's asr. Baktanim ain't an asurin. But kids who don't know what idolatry is, so to speak, if they touch the wine, it would not be usur. Okay, halacha zayin, ger toshav. We saw this before. Ger toshav is somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who is that? Who shekiba lav sheva mitzvos. He accepted upon himself the seven Noahide laws, kemoshav yarnu, yeno usur v'shasiya mutabaniya. Once again, you cannot drink the wine from a ger toshav, but you could benefit from it. U'miyachdin etzel yayin, v'imakpidin etzel yayin. Not only that, you're allowed to go ahead and give him, let him watch wine for a little while, okay? But you can't do it for a long period of time. So again, I can drop off a bottle of Merlot for him to watch for an hour, but I can't store wine in his house. V'chein kol akum, right? Any non-Jew, and this is key, she'eino oved akum. So any non-Jew that doesn't worship idols could go in Eloi Shma'ilim, like our Arab cousins, yenon asur b'shasiya u'murtabaniya. We can't drink their wine, but we can benefit from it. And all the goanim agree with this. But anytime you have those who worship Avodah Zarah, Stam Yenam Asur Baniya. The Stam Yenam, again, that category from before, is Asur in Hana as well. Every time we say that the Yain is Asur, Imaya Akum Shinesar Yain Biglolo Ovid Akum, right? If the, what it called, the non-Jew or the idolater that makes it usur, it's because he is an idolater. It's usur bana. V'meino ovedakum, but let's say he doesn't worship idols. Harehu usur b'shasiya bavad. Then it's only usur to drink. V'kol makom shenemar akum stam areza ovedakum. Right. Anytime he uses the word akum, it means somebody who actually worships avodah zarah. And that's a very important point that Rama is making in his terminology. Okay. Lachatess. Now ein misnasek la'akum. Right. Ela yain shrei l'hakar v'gavim yizbeach. So only, only wine that would be used, okay, to serve the idols is considered under the category of Yain Nesach, okay? And that's why when the Chachamim went ahead and included Stam Yenam in the category of Yain Nesach, the Gazra kol Yain Shigabo, she Asur Baniya, right? And they said any wine that the non-Jew touches, the Akum touches, is Asur to benefit from, lo Gazra ela Yain Aroyal is Nasek, the only Asur wine that you would bring to basically be miskarev with, to the base, to serve God with, so to speak. The vikach yain mevushal shal Yisrael shenagabo akum. That's why, and this is very famous, wine that's been boiled by a Jew and then touched by a non-Jew. Ain't no usher. That's not usher at all. And you could drink it with a non-Jew in one cup. Aval yain mazuk. Okay, but when it comes to what it called wine that's blended with water, yain shehiskal hachmitz, or wine that's become started to ferment or turn into vinegar, v'efshrash yishta im nokabo, and it's possible that you can drink from it. If he touches it, it's usur. Okay, so even though the Rambam's point is, even though the wine has changed a bit, it's still considered usur. Now, how far does this go? Horu goni amarav, some goni in paskin in this are behind Yisrael the atzvash from atzor, right? They paskin that even if a little bit of, let's say, honey, okay, it was mixed into wine. Whole vein of royal mizbeach. At that point, you cannot use this wine for the mizbeach. Harayukum uvushal, right? It's considered like as if it was boiled. Or okashekar, like beer. Vein of misnasek. You don't use that for libations. And therefore, mutali shosim min akum. And you could drink it with an akum. So again, if you added some flavoring to wine, which render it unusable for nisachim, then it would not fall in the category of yain nesach. Okay, so now the Rambam's going to focus on when does the Isser Yain Nesach take hold? Okay, what point in the process of making the wine? So Meimasa Yesar Yain Akum, right? Misha Yidroch Vim Shoch Yain. So when does the Yain become Usser? Okay, when the grapes are crushed down and the wine starts to drip out. Alpha Pishalo Yoro the Boar, even if what it called, the non-Jew hasn't gone down yet into the storage area where the grapes are. Rather, he's still in the area where they press the wine. Areza usur. It's already usur. That's why it's prohibited for a Jew to join a non-Jew to press wine together. Shema yigabiyado. Because what could happen? It could be that the non-Jew touches some of the grapes. V'nasech, right? Vafilu hayakafus, right? Even if, what it called? Even if, what it called is, let's say he's tied. Vein lochem menu gas drucha. Not only that, you're not allowed to go ahead and buy a wine press from a non-Jew that's filled with crushed grapes, okay? Even if the wine is like mixed in with the little tiny seeds, and he hasn't even gone down to the board yet. We don't buy wine presses from non-Jews for this reason, okay? Allah Yud Beis, now Akum Shadarach HaYayin, okay, let's say a non-Jew crushes the grapes, v'lo nagabo, but he never actually touches them, and he uses something to crush them with. You'll see what those are later on. V'harei Yisrael Omen Agabav, right? And a Jew is watching over him. The Yisrael Hu Shekanso B'chavis, and the Jew is the one who's going to collect it and put it into the various barrels. Hareza Asa B'shasiya. There's only an Isser drinking it and not an Isser of Hana. Elach Yud Gimel. Achomet Shalakom. This is when the wine turns into vinegar. Asr Bahaniya. It's also Asr to benefit from it. Neshe Nasa Yai Nesek Kodesh Yachmetz. Because it became Yai Nesek prior to it turning to vinegar. Akom Shahaya Dores Anavim B'chavis. Let's say a non-Jew is crushing grapes inside like a barrel. Even let's say the what do you call it? The wine is left over from his hand. In we're not concerned about yai nesek here. Now haya ochel min asalim. Okay, let's say he is eating from baskets filled with grapes. The hoser kaseo kasasayim, and let's say he leaves over a say amount. The Zarka Magas, and he throws it into the gas in the press. Afi Shayayim Magaso Alanafim, even though the wine is actually, is pressing down the grapes just ever so slightly, Enos Hayayin Nesa. It's too far removed, and therefore it doesn't make it into Yayin Nesa. Okay? Hachartsonim Vahazagin, so these are the seeds and the peels, Shel Akum, obviously of grapes, of a non Jew. Asurim Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. So those are Asur to consume for 12 months. However, after a year, kvar yavshu, they've dried out. There's no moisture of wine left inside the peels or the seeds, and therefore mutar machila, you'd be allowed to eat it. That's like basically the when you filter wine, the unfiltered dreg part of the wine. Sheyavshu laachar yud beis chodesh, that dries out, takes a year for it to dry out. Mutar, and then it's mutar shalayin nishar behen reach yain. There's not even any flavor or sniff or trace of wine in it. It's considered basically like dust. And that's why we butcher to consume that. Okay, halacha tezvav. Nodos akom v'kan kanayim. Okay, so these are basically like barrels or wineskins that the non-Jews, sheikh nisu ben akom yayinam, that they store their wine in. Asur litein tochan yayin. I cannot put wine in those, assuming the barrels are emptied out. I can't put my wine in them. And there's going to be three possibilities. Either they stay out outside to dry off for a year, or basically do what's called libun. You burn it out, the inside out, until all the tar goes away. Or the third possibility is you put water in them for 3 days straight, Uma'ara hamayim, and you pour it out after 1 day. Umachlef hamayim acherim, you exchange it with fresh water. Call every 24 hours. Call meis leis shalosh ba'amim b'shalosh yamim. So basically, 3 times over 3 days will now three 24-hour period of time. These three methods are basically getting rid of any yayin that's left inside the barrel. Bein shayu kelim shalahen, bein shayu shal Yisrael. Whether the kelim belong to the non-Jew or the Jew, v'sha'alu osan, he's borrowing them, v'chnisa ben yenam, v'nasa l'sochem yayin kodam shi'itar osan, but if a Jew put wine in those barrels prior to, in a sense, purifying them, meaning getting rid of any of the yayin nesach, hareza asa b'shasiya, then the wine he put in there will be prohibited for him to drink. Halacha tezayin, umut alitan l'sochan shechar, otzir, omoryas, miyad. You're allowed to go ahead and put in things like beer, or fish brine or oil immediately, and you don't have to do any of the things you listed in Halacha Tezvav. And then not only that, after I put in Shechar, and then I dump the Shechar out, I can then add my own wine in. Because we say the salt that's inside the Morias, right, or the Tzir, will in a sense burn off or get rid of any of the Yayin Nesek that was in the sides of the barrel, and that's why you could put your Yayin in afterwards. Halacha Yedzayin, let's say someone buys a kli from a non-Jew that's not covered over with tar, right, or sealed. No sin l'sochan yayin miyad. You can go ahead and put yayin in immediately. We don't worry that the non-Jew put Yain Nesek in the Kli beforehand. Vimhaya Mizufasin, right? But let's say they were lined with like tar, Madichan, and you have to wash it out, the Apishin Chadashim, even if they're new. V'chein Kli Shinnasku Bo Yain Nesek, so too, any Kli that a non-Jew put Yain Nesek into, Vimach Niso Likium, Kigon Kli Shechoshepo, O Meshafech, Yotzeba, Meshachacho B'mayim V'dayim. So for instance, let's say he poured wine Yain Nesek into it for a small period of time, like for a couple minutes, and then in order to dump it out later on, okay, like a bucket or like let's say a funnel is a good example, right? Then all you have to do is you wash it off with water, and that's sufficient, okay? Okay, lach yurches v'chein kol shel cheres, okay? Earthenware is always a problem when it comes to tam. If you have an earthenware cup sheshasabo akum that the non-Jew drank out of asul lishtosbo, I cannot drink out of that. After I wash it out three times, mutter. Why? Because after three times, what I can say is all the little bits of wine have washed away. As long as the inside of it is covered with literally lead, okay, as a lot as these people do, as the makers of it do. Or it's covered with tar. But if it is, made out of cheres alone, it just needs to be washed one time. Okay, lach yotes. Now, kli cheres hashoim be'ever. Let's say you have a kli cheres, an earthenware kli, that's glazed with ever. Shnei shtam shebhem yain nesek, that's used yain nesek. Ima yulavanim or adomim or shechorim. If that covering is white or red or black, it's mutter. But if it's green, asurin. Why? Meshem bolim. So that material, for whatever reason why, was known to absorb. Okay. But if in that covering of the earthenware, there's an exposed area of cheres, whether it's white or green, asurin. Why? Meshem bolim. Because we're going to say it absorbs in the wine. Yearly, the Rambam surmises, she'ina dover ela b'shekansu behem l'kiyam. The Rambam says this only is a problem if you're basically putting wine in there to store it long term. But if you didn't do that for long term, madichan, you wash it out, umutarin, it's mutar, afilahim shalcheres, even if they're made out of earthenware. Yilachachaf. Okay, now going back to the parts of the wine press, gashel evan, mishal eitz, right? When you have a press made out of stone or wood, shadarach ben akum, that a non Jew crushed grapes on, o gashel evan, or if you have a stone press, shazafsa akum, right? Similar, that also that he, what do you call it? He put tar over, afi shalo darachba, even if he didn't press the grapes yet, madicha mamayim, you wash it off with water, uve efer, arba pa'amim, with ashes and water four times, and then v'darachba, then you can go ahead and crush grapes on it. V'mhaisa behem lachluchis, but if there's any moisture still there, makta be'efer lamayim, you put the ashes on first to suck up the moisture, then put the water on. Otherwise, you would put the water in first and then the afer. Okay. Halacha chaf aleph. Gash eleven mizuvefes shedarach ba'akum. Okay, let's say you have, again, a stone press that's lined with tar that an akum, the non-Jew presses grapes on. O gashel eitzavusa, or a wooden press that's covered with tar. Afish lo darach ba, even if he didn't press the grapes yet. Tzarech liklof es azefes. What must you do? You have to peel off that tar seal. Vim yeshna shtema sarchodesh, but let's say you left it out for 12 months. O nasan ba mayim shloshi yamim eiz leis, or again, use the three-day water method. Ein tzarech liklof. You wouldn't have to peel off that zefes. Lotia gas chamura yeser mina kankanim. Why? Because we're not going to make the press more stringent than the bottles/barrels of wine. Lo nemar yiklof el latir miyad, right? The reason why we allow this idea of peeling off the zephyrs is in order to circumvent the longer process of, like, let's say, washing it out. Peel it off, you can go ahead and use the thing immediately. Now, gashel cheres, when it comes again to an earthenware press, afi shekalef as a zephyrs, even if you peeled off the tar layer, aser lidrochba, I cannot go ahead and use that to crush grapes, miyat, right? Immediately. Ad sheyechem osab eish ad sirfa zefes. What do you have to do? You have to do libon. You have to burn off basically that pitch/tar layer. V'miyesh tashem as a chodesh. But if you left it out for 12 months, onasam amayim shloshi yamim, or you did the water method, then mutaris mosh v'yaner. Then it will be mutter like the Rambam explained before. Lachakaf gemo. Okay, mishameris is a filter. So mishameris shal yain shal akum If you get a filter that was used by a non-Jew for wine, if it's made out of hair, you have to basically, clean it very well, and then you can use it as a filter. If it's made out of wool, you have to go ahead and wash it in water and ashes four times, and you have to go ahead and wash it until it dries out, until you squeeze it out, and then you can use it as a filter. Right? Let's say it's made out of flax, then you have to wait 12 months. If it has knots in it, matiran, you have to untie them. So anything made out of things like reeds or other materials, machifos, shedorchin bahan yayin, that you would use to tread grapes with, if they're sewn together, like ropes, matichman, you have to wash them. But let's say they are, they are really tied, really tight together, and basically they're like knotted to the point where you can't get them out. Madichan be'efer, you wash them off with ashes, uvamayim, and water, arbapamim, and munavon mishnamish behen. And then you wait till they're dry, and then you can use them. Vimayat tfuros v'pishtan, let's say they're sewn with flax. Miyashash nemas rachodesh, you wait 12 months. Vimesh behen ksharim matiran. If they have knots in them, you have to untie those knots. Okay, almost done with the wine press stuff. Alach ravdalet, klia gasha darach ben akum, yai nesech, right? So how does it work that a non-Jew, okay, goes ahead and if he uses it to press grapes, how can a Jew ever use it? Ketsa mitarano son, how can a Jew make that press mutter for him to use? Kadesh yidrach b'hena Yisrael. Hidfin v'adafin v'adashim v'halulavin madichan. So this is, we're basically going to take the wine press now and take it apart. So basically you have boards, which are what the grapes go onto. You have these adashim, which are like these little balls that are used to press them with. The halulavin, right? And then you have like these palm branches, literally like lulavs, that they use to sweep the floor, okay? You have a kullin, right? Shel nisarim, shel bitzbutz minagvan. So you have like basically these wooden linings that were used to keep the grapes in. You have to dry them out. Shel shifa v'shel gemi, right? If they're made out of other types of materials like grasses, v'yashar shemus achodesh, you have to give them 12 months to dry out. V'mratzo l'tara miyad, but if you want to mitaher this gas immediately, Magilim beroslin, right? Either place a lot of boiling water over it, or choltim bemezetim, or you heat a used water that's used to heat up olives, or manichan tachat sinor, or you put them underneath a drain, mishayama shemeimav mekalchin, right? Where water is constantly flowing out of the drain, or bemayan shemeimav rotfin, right? Or where a spring where water is coming out, shemes reshaos for 12 hours, and then vachrach yusur. At that point, it is mutter. Okay. Now that's done, the Rambam now says, Lach Chafei, Bisman Shehaisa Eretz Yisrael Kul Yisrael, when the Eretz Yisrael was basically all Jewish, Hayilokanayim called them Yisrael, you could buy wine from any Jew, anyone. Bein Chosh alone, there's no Chashash. B'chutz La'aretz, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, Lo Hayilokan El Ma'adam Shehuchzav HaKashrus. You wouldn't buy wine except for a person who basically you could trust his Kashrus. Bisman Azeh, but today, Ein Lochinayim B'chol Makom, you don't buy wine from anybody, elam adam shochzav kashrus, only from a person who has a chazaka of being a kosher Jew. V'chein a baser, v'agvina, v'chatichas dag, she'im basimman k'mosh v'yarno. We've seen this before. Basically, you need to go to a shopkeeper who's trustworthy to buy your food from, okay? Finally, Rambam lands off with a very strong halacha. Halacha chavav, ha'misareach yitzel ba'al ba'is, v'chom akam v'chol zman. If let's say I'm a guest at someone's house, no matter where I am in any period of time, and he brings me wine or meat or cheese or a piece of fish, it's mutter. I don't have to ask about him, right? Like, it's basically, in today's terms, what his hashkacha is, right? Even though I don't recognize him, the fact that I know that he's a Jew is sufficient. Now, but let's say it's clear he's not, let's say, a kasher Jew, okay? And he's not careful about, let's say, kashrus, also is a rechetzel. I can't eat at his house. But let's say he does invite me over and I go there. I can't eat his meat and I can't drink his wine. Unless someone who I can trust, right, basically testifies that these food items are permitted. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick up Parakut Beis tomorrow.